Welcome everybody. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Gonna get started here. I've been taking sort of a break from preaching, trying to figure out which direction I want to take it. And it is very cool in your life when you realize, right? Okay, so the Doubting Thomas, right? A doubting Thomas is symbolic of a person or our own doubt within mankind, within ourselves, right? We all have it, right? Christ says, don't worry or don't be anxious, right? Whatever. And that, it can be difficult, right? And that is sort of the pressing into the faith or the walking away from the faith. If you're pressing into the doubtlessness, right, you're fearless, you're confident, you know God's with you. Well, that is a faithful life. It's not without wisdom, right? Like, oh, I'm gonna go chase an army by myself. That's wisdomless faith, right? And Christians, we're commanded to seek wisdom and get knowledge, right? And so when King David in the book of Psalms says, with you, Lord, I can charge a legion of 12 men, right? Well, he doesn't do that alone, right? That's not something David's doing, right? So seeking wisdom is getting knowledge is in there, but pressing into the faith and choosing who you want to become, what direction you want to step towards in your life is part of what it means to be Christian, right? A doubting Thomas is the foundation of how you will live your life. Will you live your life? Will you choose? And it is a choice, right? Anything that we choose to overcome in our lives, we can overcome, right? So if it's doubt or a lack of confidence, feelings of insecurity, anxiety, etc., you are powerful enough. You are strong enough. God is with you. He can lead you to the steps necessary that you're going to have to take in order to overcome those flaws. I mean, the best way to think of them is areas of your life that you're good enough, that are good, right? I'm good enough, yet I still want to grow in these other areas, right? I'm good enough at communication, but I could use a little work there. I could use a little growth there, right? So that we're not thinking about ourselves in negative ways, right? So that we're loving ourselves internally, spiritually, right? And when you get that sort of spiritual connection with God, and you get that mustard seed of faith, you start stepping out onto the waters with God. Well, something pretty incredible starts to happen. The stories of the Bible start to wander or walk purposefully into your life. You start to see things a little bit differently. The locks, the bindings of impossibility start to loose on your life, and that which was once impossible has indeed become with God possible for you. And so, understanding that we're moving towards this state of overcoming, this state of being able to do things that we as Christians could no longer do. That's part of Christianity. It's part of loving ourselves, right? If you're loving yourself internally and you're confident, i.e., not doubting, right? You're saying things like, I can do that, right? You think you may have had old, moth-filled, dusty thoughts where you used to think, oh, I couldn't do mathematics, but now, right, with God, you're saying, I'm going to do what it takes to overcome this fear of mathematics, this fear of whatever it is that is holding you back in your life. It is surrendering to the faith. It is surrendering to the power of God. And when you have the faith to acknowledge fully that God is infinite and powerful enough to overcome anything in your life, that God can accomplish anything you set out to do. And It's pretty awesome, right? God is this incredible, loving guide, father, God, right? And he is leading you. He's willing to show us once we get that mustard seed of faith, that core, that good core. Once he sees that we have that pearl, right? God's not going to lead a villainous person. That's just not how it's going to work. But here's the thing. A lot of people on the inside will think, hey, I'm villainous. Hey, I'm rotten. God would never choose me. Well, good news, right? The last are first, and the first are the last. Many of the people who come in first in the race will be last in the kingdom. Many people who are first in mathematics or the best at a subject will be last in the kingdom of heaven. And so, understanding that this is what God wants us to be pressing into in our lives, the most important thing, the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And this is so important because when you start pressing into that love, when you start seeking, what does that mean? What does loving God mean? Well, it starts to lead you out of places of doubt and fear, anxiety, feelings of lack, like, oh, I couldn't do that, into places of, hey, I'm ready to try something new. Today I'm going to do my routine just a little differently. Still going to be my routine, but I'm just going to mix it up. I'm just trying something new, right? Trying new things, trying to overcome obstacles in our life that are maybe have been boding over us, foreboding over us for quite some time, right? Understanding this is loving the Lord God of Israel. What is it, right? Oh, I don't think I could get that dream that God says I can get. I don't think I can become a world-famous pastor. Well, hold on there, buddy. Are you living a faith-filled life where you understand that the Lord God of Israel, the God who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, is with you? Or are you doubting? Are you worrying? Are you fearing? Right? What dream is it, right, that God has placed upon you that you think, hey, I might not be able to do it? Because with God, all things are possible. Doesn't matter if the Red Sea itself or the River Jordan has to heave up, right? If the waves have to heave up and part so that you can walk through on dry land, if you need a miracle, well, good news, God is the God of miracles. You may not understand that the Lord God of Israel has been building and working within you spiritual works that you cannot comprehend, things, merits that you cannot comprehend, building, establishing merits within you that you cannot comprehend. That is the glory, that is the power, that is the sovereign majesty of God. He is able to build within you things that you can't understand yet. And this is, he sends his messengers before you, just out of sight, to help you, right? And understanding, that's Isaiah, right? He sends his messengers, he'll send his messengers ahead of you, before you, right? Just out of sight. You can't see them. You might not be able to understand it, but lo and behold, all the events of your life are being lined up for you. All the opportunities, all the people that you need to meet, that you need to ace a conversation with, right? Well, God's going to be with you. God is with you, right? And so maybe you botch one. Well, God says, don't worry, I have another, right? And that's okay, right? As we're moving away from that timid sort of self-doubting state and putting our faith in the ocean, in the out onto the waters, right? Out with God. That is where we start to change, where we start to become no longer creatures of flesh and blood, no longer creatures, men made of mud, right? Men created from the dust. But beings, a faith being, a creation of faith, a wellspring of eternal life that has welled up into immortality, into full alignment with God, when you walk out of alignment with the world, when you stop focusing on the world, when you stop doing it their way, and you start doing it your way, and you keep doing it your way with God, i.e., God's way with you, right? We surrender fully to God, and by pressing into God, He starts blessing us. Things that we were not capable of doing on our own start to line up. Miracles start to happen. Dreams better than you dreamed possible will become possible for you. They will walk into your life. God will line up the events necessary for the Red Sea to part, the miracle necessary to get that dream into your hand. It will walk out of the realms of impossibility, the courts of the heavens, into your hand. That's who God is. That is what God is capable of, right? But you have to follow God. You have to love God. You have to pursue God's ways. Not like, oh, I pursued it from 5 a.m. to 7. Now I'm going back to sleep. I'm doing whatever I want. No, that's not what God's talking about. He's talking about a full surrender of your life. And it doesn't have to be perfect surrender. That is not humanly possible. And God never asks us for anything that would be impossible for us. Maybe difficult, yeah. But not too often, not too difficult, right? God, He often throws softballs, right, at us. He says, can you do this? Can you go talk to this person? Can you go start studying this? Can you start building this, right? That doesn't mean He won't ask you to do hard things. It just means you will be able to do what God sets before you. He has purposed you. He has created you so that you are able to do this thing, these things for God. It's not destiny theology, right? I.e., I can sit on my bed all day long, free will, and then it'll happen no matter what. No, that's not correct. It's a predetermination theology, i.e., once I decide to get off my bed, right, and start following God, God will start lining up these things for me that are beyond my wildest imaginations, that are beyond my wildest dreams. That's what God is talking about. That is the North Star, right? The star that the wise men see, the star of David, that leads the followers of Christ to the feet of Jesus Christ, right? And you can argue, hey, oh, the Magi, they're Magi or they're wise men, but hey, it's an example, right? It's not an exact statement. So there are guiding stars, so to speak, metaphorically, that guide the servants of the Lord, that lead the servants of God, that usher the servants of God where they ought to be. You'll start to feel a pull within yourself saying, hey, go over here. Hey, talk to this person. God will start knocking on reality, pointing you to where you should go in your life. And it's pretty incredible sometimes when God shows up. Let me tell you a story. I was sitting at a red light, and the red light turned green. And I hear this voice. I heard the voice of the Lord God of Israel. And that voice told me, hey, wait. I said, wait. Like a whisper. Like a whisper, which sounded like the ocean with infinite knowledge behind it. And so I sort of looked back and forth and said, what the heck was that? And I waited a second at the red light, and everyone else starts to go just inching out. And at that moment, this car flies by trying to make the red. And going 80, he was going insanely fast. My car goes sitting at the stoplight. And if I hadn't listened to God, if I hadn't trusted God at that point, it probably would have been a pretty bad car accident, and who knows what would have happened. But that's what I'm talking about. That's what the Bible references, right? And that's not the first time I've had something like that happen. If you press into church circles, good church circles, you will find countless experiences like this, countless stories, and you know, take them with a grain of salt, right? But there is, God is real, right? He is out there. He desires us. He desires a relationship with us. He loves us, right? And so when you're trying to figure out the nature of God, well, by looking at God leading us to good places, by looking at God leading us to the steps necessary, to the steps that we have to take to root out these flaws, to overcome our fears, our anxieties, our worries. You start to grasp that God's this sort of incredible loving, incredible good entity. And while no one on the earth, including myself, knows too much about God. We don't know much about God at all, but I do know that he's incredibly powerful. And how powerful, right? That's up to you, right? You can, the Bible says that God created the earth in 6 days. So that's pretty, in my mind, it's beyond powerful, beyond human comprehension, right? Something like that. And when you start to understand this, things start to make a lot of sense, right? God's good nature, his pure loving nature, starts to really shine forth, right? You start to trust God a lot more as you realize, hey, I can put my faith in God. I can keep pressing into God. I can keep doing what the world might consider a little strange or different, and God's gonna get me there no matter what. It may not It may take a little while to grasp exactly where God wants you to operate from in your life. Because if you're operating in a state of hatred, right, you're going around and you'll see these preachers sometimes. I was at this community college, and this gentleman, he's preaching to the whole court, and he's saying, fire and brimstone, you know, loudly, loudly to all the students. He says, you have an affair? You're going to hell. If you do this, you're going to, you keep sinning, you're going to hell. And it's just not the type of sermon that people want to hear, right? Love attracts all things, light attracts all things, but sort of rashness and harshness, right? If you don't do what I say, Sodom and Gomorrah is going to happen to you. It's not a very good sermon. You're not going to get a lot of people to listen. You're not going to get a lot of people brought to Christ, right? It is love that brings people to Christ. Loving the other people, that radiant, brilliant light, that radiant, brilliant love that God displays that attracts the entire world unto God, unto the feet of the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We just published a work in progress version of John 3:16, but it is extremely accurate compared with the ancient scrolls, the original version of the Bible. If you look at the ancient Greek, right, the ancient Greek is a lot different than King James translation of John 3:16. However, right, the message is practically the same, right? I'm not going to go too much into it, but you guys are welcome to check it out. It's absolutely beautiful, and so that's something I'm realizing about the ancient scriptures. They are absolutely beautiful. They are so clear. They are so clear. It is just beautiful. Today, well, we're not writing our own 750,000 word book for no reason, right? Why I started writing the Bible, a priest or a priestess or a prophet, I don't know, it's a priestess probably, some lady, and I'm walking by this some lady in a park, and they're saying, hey, free prayer. I walk up to them, I got prayer. She says, hey, you're gonna write a version of the Bible. And so, hey, a year or two about after that, I started working on the Disciples of Christ version of the Bible, and started collaborating with others to produce what you guys see up on our website currently, right? And so, understanding, right? We're going for 100% accuracy, 100% accuracy. Essentially, what we're going for is we want people who practice the Christian faith, accurate Christianity, accurate Christian theology, right, will establish a very powerful connection with God. Inaccurate theology gets people like me and God a little flustered, right? We want people to be doing what's good for their lives, or God wants people to be doing what's good for their lives, what's beneficial, right? What's going to lead them to a happy, good life, right? And into the kingdom of heaven, right? Good for their life, into the kingdom of heaven, in reverse order, right? First, foremost, right? Christ points to God, right? Christ points to getting people into heaven as his the foundation. Actually, every word that Christ ever spoke points to the kingdom of heaven. It points to the existence of God. Every single word that Christ ever spoke. So cool. Which it reflects, it shows an extreme level of preparation, right? Care, love, commitment, planning, etc. So, and intelligence. I guarantee you, Christ was very, 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 very smart guy. And so, understanding that is where you start to build from, right? Knowing that Christ is leading you to what's good, right? You will know them by their fruit. You can sort out good and bad teachings pretty accurate, pretty quickly, right? So, moving on, the love of God, right, is what the religion's all about. It's getting that core of love within yourself, but that core, that spirit that's within yourself, and your relationship, your connection with God, it's the first step to becoming Christian. And without that first step, without that love, you're not really Christian. I hate to say it, but without love, there is no person, there is no one who ever has made it into the kingdom of heaven without love. And so that is how important loving people is, right? God is a lover of mankind. So when you think, right, well, why did God make the last first? Well, because he loves them, right? The parable of the vineyard, Christ is talking about how these men are complaining. They get paid an equal share, an equivalent share, and they started from a young age. And these other workers, they come at night and they work only an hour. And he says, God, you've made them our equals, right? And so God is willing to bless. God is willing to be very gracious, to be very generous, is very generous to people who are willing to surrender their lives to him. Even if maybe you don't have much to bring, well, the least are the first, and the first are the least. That's just who God is, right? He is willing to take a life of a quarter full glass and fill it up for you. He's willing to raise you up among your companions, even though you may be the least of them. But you gotta follow God. You gotta do what he says. And you gotta formulate your own opinions. Today, man, there's a lot of very interesting theology out there. Every church, every person has their own theology, really. I'm currently working a lot in a coffee shop and a Christian church coffee shop. And so all these people, they come down and they're talking about all these theologies. Man, some of these people, they don't even bother to read the Bible. You got to read your Bible. You got to read your red letters and you formulate your own opinions. You are smart enough to figure it out. God is with you. He will decipher the cipher. Can you break my father's code? Can you unravel the cipher? Because if you can figure it out on your own, no problem, you can get to heaven. But here's the thing, you are not on your own. not for one second of one day, that once you're living, God is with you. So when you're reading your Bible, pray, ask, keep asking God for revelation, in the words. And by the end, by the time you're about 30 plus, right around there, you will understand every verse of the Bible, no problem, and God will be continuously giving you revelation throughout your life that is beyond the Bible, what the Bible speaks upon, right? 750,000 words, well, it's not everything. It's a good amount of wisdom. It's a good amount of knowledge to possess as a Christian or as any person in the world. Funny enough, when you study billionaires, when you study millionaires, many of them have actually read the Bible. Pretty interesting, right? Many of them take the ways, the biblical ways, and apply them to their lives to produce abundance, right? God does not say, I'm going to, anybody who reads the Bible, if they're not Christian, I'm going to stop them from abundance. No. Right? He loves all people. He's a lover of mankind, right? You may feel dirty. You may feel ashamed. You may feel like God would never choose you. You say, God doesn't use, wrong. God uses whoever he chooses to use. If you are the least, if you are God-touched, if you are broken, damaged, if you are ruined completely, God wants you. He wants you to come home. That's how much he loves you. That's what love is. Love looks past the flaws. Love wants you no matter what. Love comes to you no matter what. And that's what God does. And that's the difference between the priests of a church who sit in their church waiting for people to come to them. And that's the difference between other Christians, prophets in the Bible, who go out seeking after other people, right? If the good shepherd loses his one sheep, won't he leave the 99 to go after and seek after that one lost sheep? Interestingly enough, that translation of the parable, right? It's actually the whole group of the 99 that go after, that go out seeking. The 99 Christians will go out seeking the lost sheep. The not so Christian people will chill in their church and say, yeah, I'm definitely going to heaven. That's the truth of it, right? If you actually love a lost person, you'll crack the world in half for them. You'll go after them. You'll pursue them. You'll work for them. You'll bless them. You'll try and figure out new ways to help them and heal them, etc., etc., etc. And love, pure love, it keeps going. It almost never gives up. Almost never. You can debate that God does not give up, that God will walk with you unto the last day, unto the last day of your life with you, no matter what, no matter what you do. He'll always be calling to you, always be saying, come home, come home. I love you. I want you. Come home. Understanding the foundational concepts of the Bible that Jesus presents in the red letters, it's important. It's very important, right? It's not do whatever you want, I'll tell you that. That's not good for your life. And as you get older, as people age, right, you'll start to understand that more and more. Things like hatred, bitterness, discontentment, right? Oh, I got dealt a bad hand. Oh, boo-hoo. There's no benefit, there's no wisdom in having thought processes, thinking like that in your life. So Bible says, get it out. Get rid of it. Replace the bitterness with love. I love my life. Hey, it may not be what I wanted, but I love it. I've got God. I've got these miracles. I've got the miraculous things that God has done for me. I've got that love. That's all I need. And when you lower yourself to that point, well, your life is going to get a lot happier. That doesn't mean you stop working. It doesn't mean you say, oh, I don't need to grow anymore. It just means when you work, when you grow, you keep that radiant light, that love of God, that connection to God first. Yeah, you're gonna be so much happier when you're working. You're gonna know that God's with you. You're unique. You're special. You are unique. There is no one who in the entire world who can do what you can do. So when you walk up or you feel like you messed up a conversation, God says, "That's exactly how I designed you. That's exactly how I wanted it done. You did it perfectly." And you may not understand, but sometimes when you brush someone the wrong way or slip up, I was ordering a coffee and this barista, she yawns, and when she yawns, she says some spiritual name. She says a Yeshurun, and my eyes pop out of my head, and I'm like, "What? What did you call me?" And it was pretty profound because you may not understand it, but God is strong enough. God is good enough to lead you, right? Even through the times of hardship, even from the broken ashes, right? Even from a yawn, God can create miracles. God can create spiritual blessings. God can create extremely memorable moments, silver lining moments, just by using his servant's mistakes. No problem. That's who God is. That's what God's famous for. Not only is he capable of doing that, but he's capable of doing far above and beyond all of that, right? Beauty from ashes created the earth in 6 days, created existence, right? All existence, the stars in the sky, etc., etc., etc. God, in the book of Joshua, I believe, stops time. He stops the sun over Joshua's army, over the Israelites, right? So when you're starting to think, right, you're keeping making your problems smaller and smaller, right? You start to think, "Well, man, God can help me with my problems. God can overcome the problems of my life. No problem." Right? And so feelings of doubt and fear, they start to flee. They start to dissipate. All that gleans me. Gleaning something is when you're going around, there's all this seed, all these good seeds scattered upon the ground, and you're gleaning them. You're picking them up one by one into your basket, into your own basket. All who glean me are with me. All who glean with me are with me. And all who are against me just dissolve. Shoot. It's difficult getting the verses accurate because the way that we translate them is a little bit different and more accurate. It's much more accurate. I can't wait to release this thing. It's very good. And so when you're reading the ancient Greek, it's freaking awesome, I'll tell you guys. Absolutely beautiful language, very, very complex language. And but it's very, very beautiful, and it's some of the actual writings in Greek actually have divine connotations, and that is just so fascinating. Very, very cool. And so getting the accurate theology, when you get it down, it's really awesome. Anyways, right? So God is able is the message, right? He is able to overcome whatever it is in your life, whatever it is. You may think, God couldn't do it, but right, that is probably what the shepherd boy David was thinking. Shepherd boy David thinking, "Hey, shoot, this is a bad hand. I'm going to be a shepherd the rest of my life. I wasn't born a prince, etc., etc., etc." These are thoughts David could have had. Who knows if he did, right? But God saw David's good heart. He saw that David loved God. David was willing to surrender everything for God. And so God chose David and raised David up, right? And suddenly the impossible became possible, right? All those fears, those doubts, those worries, those feelings of self-lack. I'll never be a king. Well, good news, God's with you. You will be a king or queen for that matter, but you got to keep going. You got to keep pressing in to God, and God will get you there. And here's the thing. It'll be incredible. It'll be miraculous. It'll be like the stories in the Bible, right? You will see the miracles. You will, if you press in, right? And I'm talking with 100%, not 99%. I'm talking 100%, surrendering all other things, seeking first the kingdom of God. Press in like that, and you'll start to understand the stories of the Bible. You'll say, yeah, that happened to me. Yeah, this is where God led me. Yeah, I soared on eagle's wings unto the top, unto the pinnacle of Mount Zion. I became the city atop a mountain that cannot be hidden. That's what God's capable of. That's what God wants to lead you to. And all you have to do is surrender everything that you are and do it God's way. And it's a sweet surrender, right? It's not like you don't get to do things you like anymore. No, there's plenty of time, right? There's plenty of time, 126 hours, give or take, factoring in sleep, for us as people to live our lives. 126 hours, right? You say, oh, I can't do it because I work 40 hours. Well, you still have, you know, 60 plus hours left in the week to do whatever you like, right? But oftentimes, we in our own minds, we in our own body or spirit or mind, right? We block ourselves. We say, oh, I can't do it. Well, if you're telling yourself you can't do it, well, you have built a wall yourself, and any wall that you build yourself can only be torn down by yourself. That's free will. And so when you tell yourself, hey, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, you are self-actualizing. You are bringing those thoughts into existence, you yourself. But here's the good news, right? The free will plus God, right? You are able to tear down also those self-actualized, those self-realized walls, and walk through them into the heights of Mount Zion, right? Into the silver linings, into that land of milk and honey that God is promising, sweeter than honey, right? It's a really good life. It's the best life possible, designed by a divine being, right? God, it's suggested that God possesses perfect knowledge. So he knows where to get, how to get you through those walls. He knows how to get you to tear those walls down. He knows how to get you there. He knows how to get you to a point in your life that you will absolutely love, joy and joy to the full. That's who God is. That's why he's so well renowned. That's why, right, all creation answers his voice, knows his voice, right? In the Book of Wisdom, which was one of the 14 books removed from the Bible around 1611, right, King Solomon says that all creation hath knowledge of the voice of God. Pretty cool. And when you realize, right, you look at statistical data, it says about 85% of people are religious in one way or another. So pretty cool. Anyways, guys, hey, thanks so much for tuning in. That's going to be it for the night. Don't ever forget how much God loves each and every one of you, and how much he wants you to come home and come and live with him, live within him. Hey, blessings on y'all. Have a great rest of your night.